when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, God wasn't surprised, was He? God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God just simply was bringing about His plan. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to Philemon, or if you grew up in the church I grew up in, we called it Philemon. How many of y'all, anybody grew up in a church where they called it Philemon? Oh, good. A couple of you really know how to pronounce it right. Then I went to Bible college and they said, that's not how you pronounce that. And I said, whatever. So, Philemon, little bitty book there, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews. It may take you a while to find it. And I want to just this morning, again, preach upon the subject of grace. And just a reminder that grace is not just for salvation. I'm glad we're saved by grace through faith. But grace is more than just what enables us to see salvation, to have salvation. It's also grace which we live by. It's God's unmerited favor, God's unearned favor, even unto enablement. It's God's grace that enables us, empowers us to live the Christian life. Philemon chapter, there's no chapter, just look at verse 25. And we'll give some of the rest of the story here in a moment. But look at verse 25, just a simple verse. It says, for grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I just like that phrase, the spirit. Be with your spirit. The grace of God be with your spirit. How is that? What does that mean? Well, it really just comes down to it that we are meant to have not a negative spirit, but we're meant to have a joyful spirit. As Christians, we ought to have a joyful spirit. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I pray that you would, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, enable us to have a joyful spirit in our lives every day. We'll thank you, Lord, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the toils of life rage. We know that. The storms of life rage. We have difficulties many times that bear upon us every day. We have those things that, just like the Sphinx over in Egypt, the sand hits it every day and just wears away at it and wears away. And over time, we in our own lives have that pressure every day that wears away at us. And then not only do we have the everyday pressure, but from time to time we have those trials or temptations that seem to try to beset us, right? And the Bible says there that we are to put on the whole armor of God and that we might be able to stand in that day. What day? The day in which we are tested, the day in which we are tempted, and those kind of trials that come our way, which is when we have a sickness in the family, when you find out you have cancer. It's those times in which you lose your job, or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's a wayward child, or whatever it might be. There are times in our life when we have not just those everyday pressures, but we have that time in which we are truly tested. By the way, I'm glad Corinthians says we that God will not put us through anything that we're not able to handle. But with that temptation, make a way of escape. In other words, in that trial, in that testing, God has His hand on the thermostat. I'm thankful that God is all-powerful and that God is in control of everything in my life. And certainly, He's in control of everything in your life. And so we think about that for a moment. But the everyday pressures, and whether it's a health problem or, again, it's a financial problem, a family problem, we all go through those trials, those testings. And what we're saying this morning is, Paul said to, Philemon, that we ought to have a good spirit about it. He said, man, how is that the case? We ought to have a joyful spirit. See, the trials and testings of life should not rob me of my joy. Well, it doesn't mean we walk around and say, woohoo, I'm so glad I lost my job today. But it does mean within our own spirit that we can have a calm spirit, that we can have a joyful spirit, that we can have, here's really the right word, a right spirit, a right spirit. Now, when I was a kid growing up, we had pep rallies every Friday, most every Friday, especially during football season. And we'd go into the gym, and the cheerleaders would all be there. And from time to time, the cheerleaders would get us saying, we got spirit. How about you? We got spirit. Yes, we do. And then you'd yell over to the guys across the gym, and They'd say, "We got spirit. Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you?" And you kind of get the contest going. Well, let's do that this morning. We're going to take... No, I'm just kidding. But from, you know, I don't know how much spirit that really brought in high school. I don't know that it helped any. But the illustration is true. We need the right spirit. We need a right spirit. As we go throughout our life, as we go throughout our workplace and our jobs and our next door neighbors, we ought to have the right spirit. How's your spirit this morning? How's your spirit? How's your spirit towards God? Some people go into times of trials and testings and they begin to blame God. How's your spirit towards God? How's your spirit towards your neighbor? Or how's your spirit towards your spouse? Or maybe it is one of your children. How's your spirit towards maybe a loved one in the family? How's your spirit towards the people of God? How's your spirit towards the church? How's your spirit towards your pastor? How's your spirit concerning anyone? We need to have a right spirit. A right spirit. A spirit of joy. Well, you say, "Pastor, I don't have a right spirit because I've been burned." Well, who hasn't been burned? Who hasn't? All of us have been burned from time to time. All of us, it seems like those we help the most hurt us the most, right? Who hasn't been burned? We should still have a right spirit. Life should not be full of grumpy, grouchy people. I've caught myself in this a little bit here in the last few years. You get tired, right? Get hungry and get cranky, right? My wife and my kids are like, he feed him something. That commercial, you know, where they feed the guy the Snicker bar, that's me. That's absolutely me. Feed him a Snicker bar. We have to be careful. As Christians, we shouldn't be grumpy people. We have heaven, our hope. We have an abundant life that Christ has given us. Our sins have been forgiven. Heaven is our home. We've shunned hell. Amen? We're in America. You know, we have food on the table. It's amazing. With so many times we get in such a grumpy, grouchy mood, we forget the blessings we have. The blessings we have. We ought not to be grumpy, grouchy people. Irritated. Frustrated. No, it should be joyful. The attitude we have. Attitude. The right spirit. Here's the point. God can create a right spirit in us. God can create a right spirit in you. And you, listen, life was not meant to be endured. It was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying life? I ask the same thing a lot. I know I use the same phrase a lot because I do it on purpose. Kids were not meant to be endured. They were meant to be enjoyed. Marriage was not meant to be endured. Marriage was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying life? Do you have a right spirit? If you don't, God can create in you that right spirit. God can give you. That's the key. God can give you a right spirit. You don't have to earn it. He'll give that to you in, as a Christian. All right? So we think about the story again, that God restores our faith. He restores that spirit of doubting. And the illustration we have here is the illustration of Philemon and Onesimus. Paul met Onesimus while Paul was in prison. Paul met this slave, this servant, Onesimus. Onesimus had been a servant of Philemon. And you can read the rest of the chapter, but what apparently happened is Onesimus left Philemon. Again, Paul met Onesimus and led Onesimus to the Lord. Onesimus got saved. Paul had also led Philemon to the Lord earlier. I don't know how long, what time transpired there, but Philemon was a product also of Paul's ministry. And so Paul sends Onesimus back to Philemon and gives a letter of recommendation, or a letter there with Onesimus, and says to Philemon, "Take Onesimus back. Take him back. No matter what he's done," and you can go there, look there with me in verses 18 and 19. "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it." I love how he says this though. "Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." He said, whatever Onesimus owes you, put it on my account. He said, write it down, I will repay it. But let me remind you, You owe your life to me. It's almost like saying, I don't know that I owe you anything because you owe your life to me. But notice he says, take Onesimus back. And whatever he owes you, forgive it. Whatever he owes you, put it on my account. Paul, here again, is, and then in verse 25, as you read the rest of it, he says, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit. He wanted Philemon to have a right spirit. He prayed Philemon to have a right spirit. Philemon had gotten saved. Onesimus had gotten saved. They were brothers in Christ. And they should get along. They should forgive one another. Some people get saved and, you know, a family member gets saved and the Christian who's been around a while, the Christian's been saved for maybe 10 years or 20 or sits around and says, oh, you know, he got saved. Well, I believe it when I see it. We have so many times we have a negative spirit. Right? We ought to think best of people. Hello? You say, well, I've been burned, preacher. This guy's done this to me. This has happened to me over the years. And listen, life will, if you're not careful, get you in that negative spirit. And you'll have a negative attitude towards people and a negative attitude, like even we think about politics today. And I don't want to get off on that because it is negative. But, you know, we ought to have an optimistic outlook, at least in our own minds, that God can do anything. And God can intervene. And God can do anything. And we need to have the right spirit about things. And I think sometimes, especially in the area of politics, I get very, very negative. The right spirit. As Christians, we ought to emulate a right spirit to those around us. And I know we all have various personalities. Let me again say, I'm not saying you have to walk around with a smile on your face like the pastor does. You don't have to be like me. But we all have to have the right spirit. And people ought to point to us as people who are, again, a joyful people. Anyway. Paul praying for Philemon to have this spirit, this right spirit, that God be with his spirit. Give you the grace, he said, to have this spirit. David said this in Psalm 51. He said, renew a right spirit in me. He had sinned. David had sinned with Bathsheba. And he came to the Lord and said, my bones ache and I'm such under conviction. Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Sometimes we don't have a right spirit because there's sin in our life. And we need to go to God and ask God to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9 that he says, if we'll confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins the first time and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that what it says? No. Didn't say the first time. He's able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he does it every time. Amen. I want to remind some of you, if Jesus Christ told his disciples to forgive somebody 70 times 70, wouldn't God do that for us as well? Sometimes we have a wrong spirit. We have a negative spirit. We have a cantankerous spirit, a bitter spirit, because we have sin in our life. We need to get that right. God restores our faith by his grace. And we think also about that it is grace that takes us from a discouraged spirit to a hopeful spirit. So it's God who restores our faith, but it's also God through his grace that takes us from a discouraged spirit to a hopeful spirit. Turn back with me just a couple of pages to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. This grace that God has given us at the moment of salvation, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, is the same grace that empowers us to have a right spirit. We cannot have a right spirit on our own. As a pastor, I've 23 years now of experiencing working with people. You experience some great mountaintop experiences with people and see great victories transpire, but you're also around when you see people's lives who are destroyed many times of their own making. You go through times in which you I know everyone does, but going through experiences where you've helped somebody, you've really put time and effort into someone, and you see them turn around and do the opposite for you. It's amazing to me, as you work with people, how if you're not careful, you can become very jaded. Very jaded. It's the same thing. I see somebody from the fire department here. Policemen and sometimes fire, people working with fire, sometimes will become somewhat jaded to seeing death a whole lot. Pastors do the same thing. You see death a whole lot, and you're helping people through those particular issues. And if you're not careful, you become a little jaded towards that. Does that make sense to you guys? We all have to be careful. We all have to check ourselves and say, you know what, this person is losing a loved one. And I need not only to empathize, but sympathize with them and care. And sometimes I need God's grace to do that. Sometimes with people who have mistreated me, and yet I'm helping them in this time of need. We just all got to be careful. We all got to be careful when it comes to these areas. And sometimes it creates a discouraged spirit in us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now that our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and every word and work. That he what? Consolation and good hope through what? We have good hope through grace. We have good hope through grace. It's grace that gives us hope. This grace, this enablement that gives us hope. There is hope. There's hope in the trial that you're going through. There's hope in the testing that you're going through. There's hope in the bitterness that you may have accumulated in your own life. There's hope in that health problem. There's hope in that relational problem, whatever it may be. There's hope. There's hope in those family circumstances. We can still have a good word, consolation and a good word, because of God's grace. God's grace. He can give us a good spirit. I think about the many people I visited in the hospital, even recently, and watching them go through sickness that is just beyond belief, and yet hear them say the words, I know God's working in my life. Or they hear the words them say, I know God's in control, and see God's grace work in their life. It's an amazing thing is for me to watch. And of course, in my own life, I've experienced that as well. But it's God who gives us that power, that enabling grace to go through those trials, to go through those circumstances, and to still be able to say, I know God's in control. I know God's working all things together for my good. It is God who replenishes my spirit. He's the only one who can. In other words, that joyful spirit, that right spirit, during those trials, during those testings, do not come naturally. They don't come naturally. They're given to us by the Holy Spirit, who empowers us, enables us to have that good spirit or that right spirit through difficulties. Our strength oftentimes runs out, but it's God who gives us new strength. When we are weak, He is strong. Our spirit is constantly being diminished, but it's God who comes in and, and gives us the supply of strength when we need it. In times of fatigue and failure and misstep, it is God who supplies our need. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God supplies all my needs. My relational needs, my health needs, my physical needs, my emotional needs. It is God, by His grace, that gives us the right spirit, the Spirit of God. We need that Spirit. I don't want to live my life in bitterness. I don't want to live my life as a grumpy old man. I don't want to live my life, you know, in a position of being melancholy all the time and not use the word somber. I want to live a life that's joyful and be able to overcome those circumstances in my life and to have victory in those circumstances and to come out at the other end of those trials and those testings with a right spirit. That does not come naturally. It comes from the Lord. It's His grace that gives us that spirit. Is that what He's not pointing out to Philemon? Philemon, yes, you've been wrong. Onesimus wronged you. He shouldn't have left. He shouldn't have fled. He was your servant. He was your slave. And he wronged you, but take him back. And when you take him back, have the right spirit about it. Oh, I'll take him back, but I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm glad when God forgave us, This is the next point, when God forgave us. Listen to this. When God forgave us, He did not just forgive us of our sins, but He has no ill will towards us either. Think about it for a moment. When somebody does me wrong, it's hard for me not to have ill will towards them. The picture in the Old Testament is that of the sin offering and the trespass offering. The sin offering was to be brought by a Jew to bring it to the temple, to bring to the priests, and it was there to forgive that person of their sins, right? They brought that lamb or that sacrifice to the priest. The priest slayed the sacrifice, and they were forgiven their sins. And there's a whole lot more to it, but we'll keep it simple this morning. The trespass offering was a little different. The trespass offering was brought, again, a lamb or a sacrifice, and was forgiven. And that was to forgive them of the ill will between them and God. God not only forgives us, but He doesn't sit back and go, all right, I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. No, the Bible says He forgets it. God has no ill will towards us. It's kind of like, I've used the illustration before, Brother Stewart has too. I love the illustration. It's one of the things, I have a, my wife has a nice car. We won't talk about my Miata, so my wife has a nice car. And let's say Brother Tramar here says, hey, Brother Crawford, can I borrow y'all's car? And we just need to take it, you know, for the weekend, and we just need a better car. We won't talk about his car either. His wife has a nice car. Why is it that the wife has a nice car? Both these instances. But he takes our car, he takes it out, and when he brings it back, I mean, it is trashed. The bumpers are bent. I mean, there's scratches all over it. I mean, when he drives up, it's smoking, you know, and it's a brand new car. I mean, we've had it like 6 months. He gets out of the car and just happy-go-lucky and throws me the keys and says, thank you a whole lot. I'm like, hey, wait, my car's trashed. He said, oh, the insurance will take care of that. Well, yeah, the insurance will take care of that. But how am I going to feel about Brother Scott? I'm going to have some ill will towards him. And absolutely, absolutely, Jesus Christ coming and living a perfect life for 33 and a half years and dying on the cross for us and shedding His blood that we might have eternal life forgives us for our sins. Not only did it forgive us of our sins, but it there's no ill will between us and God. God isn't looking down from heaven going, yeah, but you killed my son, so therefore I'm mad at you. God isn't mad at us. There's no ill will. If we could say it in this way, He has a right spirit. We ought to have a right spirit. We ought to be a forgiving people. Listen this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been forgiven of your sins? If you were to die today, would heaven be your home? See, heaven being your home is only found and only given to us by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having our sins forgiven is not found through being a member of a church or being a good person. We're not going to get to heaven one day and there's going to be some scales up there, and if our good works outweigh our bad works, then we get to enter heaven. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we've all sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The forgiveness of sin is found by way of the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary, and that He reconciles us to God, bringing us back into favor with our Lord. And that is found by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is found in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, by His grace, freely given enablement, Him giving us salvation freely. Forgiveness that we attained at salvation should also be that which we give to others around us. Listen, we ought to forgive others. Jesus Christ says, as I have forgiven you, you forgive those around you. And we ought to be a forgiving people. And being a forgiving people will help us have the right spirit. And it's grace that enables us to forgive others around us. There's somebody who has wronged you. There's somebody. Everybody has been wronged at some point. Have you forgiven them? If you want a joyful spirit, you're going to have to, with the help of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who enables you, you're going to have to forgive that person. You're going to come down to an old-fashioned altar here in just a moment and say, Lord, this person has wronged me, but God, I want to forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Give me that grace. Give me that power to forgive them. And then walk away and forgive them. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of others. Lastly, we think about the grace of God that helps us, that strengthens us. I like this saying. It says, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes He lets the storm rage, and He calms His child. Right? When the disciples got in the ship, went to the other side, and the storm came up, it was Christ who told them to get into the ship. Christ knew the storm was coming. And certainly, many times, He doesn't come and take away the storm. Another saying is, Christ is that grace is that by which the soul is supported in every trial and heartache of life. Look at Hebrews, just a couple pages over. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. A couple of pages over the other way. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then, I still hear pages turning. Sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes He lets the storm rage, and He calms His child. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed from heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was tested. He hungered. He thirsted. He went without sleep. He understands. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. The throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. Find grace to help in time of need. It's grace that is given to us. Freely given to us by the Lord that will enable us to go through those times of trials and testings. It's grace. I want to just tell you this morning, it's grace that you need this morning to have a right spirit. You want to have a right spirit? Come ask for grace. It's not earned. Grace is never earned. Grace is always given. And that having that right spirit and having a joyful spirit and having a spirit free of bitterness and having a spirit free of that inner pain that so many of us have and have dealt with, come to God asking for grace, and He'll give it to you. All of us have seen, I know when I was in grade school, in one of the science classes, we had an aquarium. Inside the aquarium was not water, but it was just some limbs and some twigs. And in those limbs and twigs was a few moth cocoons. And I'm glad as a kid we all kind of learned that. Probably you did as well in science class. And you were to watch the cocoon, the moth cocoon, and then eventually you got to see the moth come out, and it was a beautiful butterfly, right? But the key to that is the moth, the butterfly inside the cocoon, when the moth broke out of the cocoon, you can't help that cocoon. You can't help the moth. You can't help the butterfly. It has to come out on its own. It's the struggle of the butterfly coming out of the cocoon that gives it the strength to fly. If you help it, its wings shrivel up and it can't fly. I just want to, again, the illustration is that our faith is tested every day. Our faith is tested, and sometimes it's tested every day. Sometimes it's tested in a big way from time to time. But it's those trials and those testings that enabled us to grow. It's those trials and testings that strengthen our faith. It's the struggles that are necessary, again, for us to exercise our faith in the Lord. It's the trials, it's the testings that enable us to grow in grace. There are two things, and I'll do this quickly. Trials, tests are planned or permitted by God to seek to improve us. That's it. Notice I said planned or allowed by God, permitted by God. And they're meant to improve us. Temptations are solicitations to evil, seeking to ruin us. That's what Satan wants to do. God never tempts us to do evil. But he does allow things into our life. And those circumstances in our life are meant for our good. God works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, Paul says to young Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to be strong in his grace. We need to be strong in his grace. Do you know you're saved this morning? Have you had your sins forgiven? Is heaven your home? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It's amazing grace of God that saves us from our sins. But it's also through many toils, dangers, and snares, I have already come to his grace that brought me this far and grace that will lead me home. It's not just grace that saves us. It's grace that leads us through the trials and the testings of this life. Do you have that grace? Do you have a right spirit this morning? God's grace can take a bad spirit and make it better. He can make the bitter make it better. God can take the grace of God and supply the need of forgiveness and help in the time of need. God's grace will supply strength and comfort during trials, sicknesses, health problems, and give us that grace. How's your spirit this morning? Do you have a right spirit? He said to Philemon that he might have grace to have the right spirit. Do you have the grace that enables you to have a right spirit? Let's all stand. Hymn 534, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for your grace. That grace that empowers us, enables us to have salvation. And that grace that enables us to live and have a right spirit. I pray this morning that we as Christians, through your grace, would have a right spirit. In Jesus' name.